been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, search for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it,
good morning. It's good to have you here for worship today. Those watching online or listening at another part of the church, welcome. God loves you, we love you, and the Lord is present in this place with us all in our worship today. A few things coming up. Next Sunday, there'll be an 8 a.m. service, and that'll be a masked service, so maybe some from this service will want to go to that at 8 a.m., and it'll be a four-week trial. And we'll still have this service at 10, you know, optional masks. And so just it'll allow for more and more folks to come to church to worship. Also, next Sunday at 11:30, the Safe Church Training. That's for our nursery workers, children and youth, volunteers. So, and background checks are important as well. I know there was kind of a snafu a year ago where, you know, they weren't sending a link to some folks, and so we're trying to work out the details. But if you have not had a background check, just send in give a form to Ruth, and she'll put in the info, and they'll send you an email. So we look forward to next Sunday, 11:30, for our Safe Church Training. New Beginnings, we're wrapping that up. Those items are due next week. Over 50 items were purchased. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's still two, a 17-year-old male, two pairs of pants, and I think a jacket, too. And it has a description, what color and size and all that, on the little sheet. So if anyone would like to take those today, it would be great. We're here to worship. And the last 5 weeks, really, something incredible that has happened is the amount of prayer that's taken place in the church, different areas of the church, here in the sanctuary, before church, and just really, really leaning into God and calling upon his name, that it wouldn't be about us ever. It's about God. It's about worship. It's about the Holy Spirit. And God is working on our hearts and our lives. And as we turn to him daily, he is just opening doors for us and paving the way. He's helping us in our family relationships. He's helping us to get along as a church family, to work toward his mission. So in our worship today, let us open up ourselves as vessels of God, as a temple of the Holy Spirit. And this first song will allow for that as we worship. Spirit of the living God, let us sing.
Join me in our call to worship. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Let us sing together.
Thank you.
pray. Oh Lord, you are God. Amazing. We are in absolute awe of all that you have done, all that you have created, the breath of life in our very lungs. We cannot help but bow our knee before you, Lord God Almighty. El Shaddai, you come and you war for us, Lord. You love us so much. To the forefront comes your love for each and every human being, Lord. Help us to just spread that good news of your love, that others might have this same victory that you have given to us, the full redemption, almost as if we had never sinned in the garden. How blessed are we to have this grace that you have given to each and every human being to receive it. Lord, receive it. Help us to receive it fully, to understand that you have unleashed your mercy and your grace over all this earth. Lord, as we pray in your name, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our sins,
as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Is our first reading, verses 16 to 21, and that is page 586 in your pew Bible. Says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. And our second reading is from the book of Revelation. This is 1-6. Oh, chapter 2? So you want me to read chapter 2? What verses? Okay. All right.
Them all.
I got you, Lisa. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. For I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Would you join me in the prayers of the church? Father, your word says that we can come boldly to your throne with our prayers and our requests, Lord. So we thank you that as children of the Almighty God, that we come before you now and we lay our prayers at your feet. Father, we lift up our sister and brother Herb and Rogine to you, Lord. We ask that your healing hand be upon them, Lord, that you would strengthen Herb and Rogine, that you would bring life and refreshment to their bodies, and that your presence would be strong with them. We thank you, Lord, for the success of Gary Butler's surgery, Father. We thank you for the healing that has been happening, and we ask that you continue to strengthen his back, continue to bind together those things that need to be bound together. We thank you, Lord, that he is up and walking and that you are a faithful, faithful God. We lift up this sweet little baby Addie to you, Lord. You know exactly what she needs, Father, and we ask for healing throughout that little body, but we ask for your hand to intervene in her situation, Lord, that you would be her advocate. Your word says that you are our advocate, so we ask that you would advocate for that baby, that you would do whatever needs to be done, that she would get the fullness of the treatment she would need, and she would be a vibrant, healthy baby. We lift up our sister Lucille's niece to you, Lord. We thank you for the surgery that she's gone through, Lord. And we just speak healing and life and peace to her body. We ask for your wisdom in what's to come, Lord, in the future of other surgeries that may be. And we ask that your presence be with her so strong, Lord, that she knows that it is only for you. And we lift up Angela Kennedy to you, Lord, who suffered a terrible fractured back from a fall. Lord, we just ask that you bind all those pieces back together, that you make her back strong as you originally designed it, Lord, because she is fearfully and wonderfully made. And let your presence minister to her now, Lord. We lift up our church and the church, your entire church, your church body, Lord. We lift us all up to you, Father, that our hearts would be unified together to continue on the mission that you have given your church. Bind us with your love and your grace and your mercy, and give us your boldness and courage to go out and declare the things of the Lord, to go out and further the mission. And Father, now I ask that you would hear all those unspoken prayers of our hearts. Where we need you, that your hand would be in each situation we are praying for, and that you would give us peace and joy as we wait upon you, Lord, and know that you are God. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, kids, it's time to come on up.
Hi, guys. Here we have, school is now in session. Being that I like doing this. Okay, now, we've been hearing about the seven churches of Asia. Do you even have a clue where these guys are? You might, your mom. Okay, so I have what is this? It's a globe. Otherwise known as an orb by somebody else I used to have in class. Okay, now, in one of our scriptures today, I thought this was so cool. In Isaiah 16, I think it is that one. It talks about the sea paths. Did you know we have sea lanes? It's where all the ships travel. They actually have, it's almost like a road through the sea. Well, it's in scripture. So, here we are. We are over here. Do you see Connecticut out there? Go ahead, look. You can get closer. No, you don't want to? Okay, we're doing right about there. See that? We're going to move there. So, but look at this. There's a sea lane. It goes all the way over, and we're going to go through there, and then you know where we're going? I can't see from there. We're high. are going to go through the Mediterranean all the way over to right there. So there it is. All the way over there. So we're taking a sea voyage. I bet you didn't know it was that far. But here we have, this is a map of what it might have looked like back then. See, we don't have us over there. So, but we have all this, and here it is. Anybody know what that country is called today? It's not on here, honey. This is old. It's similar to this one. But you can see better. You know what this country is here? See, Israel's down here. This country is known to us today as Turkey. Okay? But, so here's where all these churches are. They're in this area, and back then it was called Asia. We think of Asia, and we go all the way to China and India, all the way over there. Well, this is what they called Asia. And here's all these churches. Now, as we heard from the first time, Smyrna, that it's actually a thriving city today. Here you are. It's on the coast. So it's big. It's big. This is Sardis. Basically has a whole lot of ruins. And it's a very Islamic country. But they're smart. We pay to go and see these. So, there you are. So, we have, that is where the churches are. And what we call Turkey today. So now you know where we're talking about. Okay, let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you teach us all these things. Your scripture has all this stuff for us. But when we're looking back then, we don't know where we are from today. So I just pray, Lord, that this has helped them to know that these places were real, and they're even real today, and they belong in another country called Turkey instead of how we refer to it in biblical times. So I just thank you, give you this day, in your name, amen. Okay, class dismissed.
Stand if you are able for our song.
Again in September, and I've already started my research, and that will be in chapter 2. Hence my mistake. Thank you, Jasper. Sticking with what's true for this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, for this space, for your reign. We need it so much. I just ask that we all are able to focus on you, Lord, and just completely and totally make me little and you be big, and just
fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 2020, right? It'll be a collective memory for our generation. We're all going to remember the difficulties and share stories of what it was like for our families and loved ones, for people we lost, for people who nursed the sick, the lost income, and abandoned dreams. Did you see that comic with the caption, "If 2020 was an ice cream truck?" The picture showed the ice cream truck driving around a neighborhood. Now, normally that sounds like a fun, yummy part of summer, but the 2020 ice cream truck read, "Liver and onions." And all the little kids were hiding from it. Will we consider the year 2020 as spiritually and economically and emotionally dead? Well, the fifth church of our series is Sardis, located about 30 miles southeast of last week's church in Thyatira. Now, Sardis was the beginning of the royal road which went to Susa during the Persian Empire. Jody Guerrera's son toured the seven sites of the seven churches of Revelation and learned that Queen Esther, of Born for Such a Time as This fame, in order to save the entire Jewish people from being blotted out, took place in this very city. There was gold in the river and a great wool industry, so they had a legendary amount of wealth made famous by two ancient kings. And as a result, the people of the church in Sardis became tremendously rich. But their love for luxury led to moral decadence. The church was known far and wide as being a busy, filled activity, action, and programs. And by the world's standards, they were successful. They were completely untroubled and a perfect model of inoffensive Christianity. You could say they were more like a fancy country club than a house of worship, like a megachurch who are all about large screens, skinny jeans, and fog machines of today. This church enjoyed peace, but it was the kind of peace you enjoy as you walk through a cemetery or a funeral home. So what does Jesus say about this church? "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Yikes. What is dead? It means without spiritual life, without God. Dead is being out of fellowship with God, separate from Christ. What a horrible thing to be said of a church, and by Jesus himself. Commentators point out, of the seven churches we're studying, this one, Sardis, the fifth one, is the worst one. To portray yourself as alive and vibrant, but really you are dead? How is an active, wealthy group of people considered dead? So I try to think of ways that I'm dead, though still alive. For it is individuals who make up a church. I think I'm alive, but I realize I'm not, when I hear or sense a call from God and don't respond to it. I think I'm alive, but I realize I'm not, when I know of someone hurting or needs help and I don't do enough. I think I'm alive, but I realize I'm not, when I'm too tired or lazy to read, study, or learn new things. I think I'm alive, but I realize I'm not, when there's a battle I'm not willing or able to do my part in. During my lifetime, specifically during this pandemic, I've let myself down by not being my best self, my kindest self, my most alive self. And I know God is patient and long-suffering and calling me back during these times. I'm so grateful for that. In our text for today, the worst of the seven churches, Jesus says, "Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent." Now, we know that as long as our body lives, there is time to turn things around, and it's the Holy Spirit who can change us. The church in Sardis advertised themselves as a living church, one well-regarded and well-spoken of. But all of these claims and portrayals of itself as a model church were false. Well, why? Well, the first symptom of their dyingness was that their brand of Christianity was one without the Holy Spirit. The believers were busy, but religious busyness does not mean life. Like a chicken with its head cut off, it'll run around the barnyard a while before they fall over.
And that's like us without the Holy Spirit. So how can we encounter the Holy Spirit? New Jersey Covenant Church planter named Peter Ahn was the speaker of the week when we were at Pilgrim Pines last month. And he gave us three ways to encounter the Holy Spirit. He said, if we do these things, we will find new life. I had my notebook and I wrote them down. I share them now with you. He said, when you reach out to the marginalized through the lens of the least, the last, and the lost, we will experience the Holy Spirit. Now, examples are countless in the Bible. The 12 disciples, a ragtag group of fishermen, tax collectors, unlearned men, marginalized in those days, were chosen by Jesus. And Jesus says in Matthew about the marginalized, I tell you the truth, whatever you do to the least of these, you do for me. So connect with the marginalized. You will not miss Jesus. Number two, we encounter the Holy Spirit when we have deep relationships. Just two or three, closest friends. Be willing to be honest, vulnerable, and willing to share your life. You've heard it said, you are only as sick as the secrets you keep about yourself. So choose same-gender friends and share your sins. Jesus had only three deep relationships, but he trusted them. It's scary, I know, but there's a healing presence of the Holy Spirit when there's no pretending. A study by Cigna back in January before COVID said, did you know that 73% of American men have the disease of loneliness? I read many studies that put that much higher. 90% of American men experience the disease of loneliness. And do you know it's healthier to smoke 15 cigarettes a day than the disease of loneliness? But once you cultivate deep relationships and can be honest and vulnerable, you will encounter the Holy Spirit. And number three, when we encounter the Holy Spirit, when we welcome suffering for Jesus, I say this mostly to myself, are obsessed with comfort. But there's something so holy and healing in this. How do we suffer for Jesus? What is that about? It's grappling with his love. Romans 5:3 tells us it's critical to suffer for Jesus because trials produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. So what kind of suffering am I talking about? It's taking a stand that isn't popular, but a stand that represents God. How about praying a blessing over your enemies? Or the very difficult thing of revisiting old wounds. Jesus is the wound healer. We sang about that in the intro. So the second symptom of a dead or dying church is the absence of struggles. Well, that may sound odd. The absence of struggle sounds like a good thing. In fact, you may think, don't struggles impede spiritual growth? But ironically, it's the opposite that's true. Churches and individual believers grow best when they encounter difficulties. Those difficulties tend to force us to turn to God for help. Trials and tribulations that come with living in a fallen world tend to stimulate growth and make our relationship with God thrive. They also make a church grow because lost people look at the way we cling to our faith. And being vulnerable and sharing our stories, the truth of our pain and trials, brings people together. It shows that we are capable of leaning on Christ and each other and being victorious in the dark times. When my mom died 25 years ago, shout out to the North Haven Covenant Church, they call it the Journey Covenant Church now in Ohio, they pulled me through, caring for me when I didn't have faith or a path forward. When Maya went through all she did in college and most recently through her divorce and single parenting, you, church, were there with faith when I didn't have any. You are a people who proves this church isn't dead. We rally around trouble, around crisis, around hard times. Am I thankful for struggles and trials? Well, the Bible tells us, in all things, be thankful. So yes, okay, I'm thankful in hard times and in prosperity. But the church in Sardis was untroubled. They had zero enemies, either outside their church or within their church. And again, maybe you think, how excellent. But it's because they didn't ruffle feathers. They didn't bother the Jews by boldly testifying that Jesus is Christ, so the Jews didn't fight them. They didn't stand up for the immorality of the days, so there was no need for those folks to be convicted and angry. And they apparently went along with the sinful, idolatrous lifestyle of their city. So in short, the devil didn't bother with this church because it was no threat to him. Sardis was not aggressive in its witness to the city. They did not stand out as salt and light in a rotten city darkened by sin, so there was no persecution to the church at all because they were silent. Now, this part of my study made me feel grateful for our active prayer chain, for our Voice for Children and Youth in our town, for our Banquet of Blessings, our Open Potter's House for Care of our community, for Special Grace reaching that community, for our outreach to prisoners and families, to Susan B. Anthony, to Carolyn's Place, to Seafarer's Mission, to New Beginnings, to Angel Tree in our town food pantry. Sardis was a perfect model of inoffensive Christianity, and our adversary doesn't waste his limited resources on those who aren't reaching the lost and growing the saved. There wasn't even heresy. Now, heresy is the product of searching minds. It is, in fact, a sign that a church is alive. There's nothing worse than a group of people who are too lazy to think for themselves. Sarah Bessie wrote in the book Out of Sorts, "Anyone who gets to the end of their life with the exact same beliefs and opinions as they had at the beginning is doing it wrong." Christianity is the only major religion where its pastors, professors, and its people spend time and energy trying to show what is false and what should be changed or even abandoned. This is why we have Alpha. So either attend it or support it, because it is here where unbelievers can come with their hurts, their questions, and their stories. They can be told truths and to be loved on where they are now and guided to Jesus and the Bible and about everlasting life. A truly vital church will always be under attack. A church with a positive message is bound to be one where there will be opposition. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you." I heard it said that every pastor has at least 10% of his or her congregation angry with them at any given time. If not, he or she isn't doing or saying anything that is thought-provoking or meaningful. Now, I don't know if Pastor Tim experiences that, but I have heard the quote, "If you want everyone to love you, don't be a pastor. Sell." They said, "If you want everyone to love you, sell ice cream." So if you're not having problems, it could be due to the fact that you're not causing the devil any problems. And if you're not facing resistance, it's because you're not resisting. So in the midst of all these dead or dying Christians in Sardis, there was a godly remnant. And by the way, there always is. Verse 4 tells us there was a few Christians still loyal to Jesus in heart and mind. They were the salt of this church, else this church would not only have been dead, but rotting as well. A dead church who is unrepentant in its deadness will be disciplined by Jesus himself. So after the warning, Jesus encourages those in Sardis who had remained faithful, "Yet you still have a few people who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy." Now, not soiled clothes means not participating in sin. And then that promise, "He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." So the one who overcomes is anyone who is born again. And the white garment is righteousness. And the name not removed from book is a promise of eternal security. So Jesus didn't speak to any of these seven churches to shame them to give up. He spoke to them to set them right and set them free. Bob Goff says, "Shame has one goal, to keep you cemented in a dark past while it hides a beautiful future from you." So the people of Sardis then, and the people in church since Revelation was written, have a choice. They can choose to stay dead or to repent and renew their motivation for who they serve. Repent and renew their work to pursue godly pursuits instead of selfish ones. They can choose to pray to God, "Light a fire in me to want to change, to love and obey and live for you." I don't think the message of salvation must have been preached weekly in Sardis, because otherwise there would be many, many more people in that remnant in the group of believers. Covenant Church of Thomaston will never stop talking about the gospel, the good news. Therefore, it will always be a place where sin is mentioned. This will not be a place where people are welcome to be comfortable in their fallen state of sin, to feel good about themselves as they're entertained and hear messages that validate and approve of sinful lifestyles. We are called to preach out of the Bible that opposes the way of sin and brings life and life abundant. And if you don't attend this church and are looking for a church, ask yourself these questions. Is this church a place of spiritual flourishing? Is it brimming with good news? Is everyone welcome to participate, serve, and lead? Is this church wildly obsessed with Jesus? If every human being is not safe in its seats, protected, cherished, respected, and able to contribute, then that church breeds death, not life. Now, we can never say a church, even one like ours, will never hurt a person or get it wrong sometimes. That church doesn't exist. The question is, what do they do with the pain they cause? Own it, apologize for it, fix it, and turn from it. And if your church knows what to do with failure, you may never do better. I'm convinced that Jesus is life, and if all I saw was death around a specific interpretation of Scripture, perhaps we owe it to the Bible to dig further into it. This is life, folks. Maturing faith doesn't get smaller and tighter. It gets wider and freer. So what happened to Sardis after Jesus' warning? Ruins from a 4th century Byzantine church on the grounds of the Temple of Artemis is a hopeful sign that some in Sardis took the warning to repent, and the church lasted another 300 years. However, today, like Janie showed that picture, only 5,000 people are living a rural life on dusty streets, and there are no known Christians. I got permission to share from Kate Blake Spadino, who's a former youth group chugger. She is a mother of 3 biological and 2 adopted children living in the Midwest, and she is one of the founding members of a Covenant Church plant there. Here she says, "It's coming up on a year that I first met Yanko in Bulgaria. We met in the director's office. I could hear him coming down the stairs, exclaiming and clamoring. When the door opened, he came right up to me, and he stroked my face, and he laughed, and he covered his mouth, and he climbed on my lap. I remember marveling at his eyes and his thin little wrists, and it was perfect. And the rest of the week was not so. We spent every day together, Jan and I. Joe was back in the States with the kids, and every day there were more worrying signs. Signs that the diagnosis we were given wasn't aligning. Signs in his behavior that raised red flags. Could he thrive in a family? There were so many red flags that I couldn't see. I called Joe sobbing. When we left Bulgaria, I told Jan goodbye. I was supposed to leave a photo book of our family with him. Instead, I put it in my bag. I could barely breathe. I left him. I left his orphanage. I left Bulgaria. On the flight home, my sister-in-law nudged me awake. She'd been talking with the woman next to her. I had my headphones in because I was tired, achy, and heart sick. Show her a picture of Yanko, my sister-in-law instructed me. I turned to the woman 2 seats over. She was in her 60s, dark hair. I recognized her. The cadence of her voice was so familiar. I asked if she was from my hometown in Connecticut. She was not. She was born in Israel. I showed her a picture of Yanko. I was in Bulgaria to adopt him, I told her. It was trip 1, and there's a trip 2 when we pick him up, I said. She held his photo. Oh, honey, she looked right at me. You do not need to be afraid. I stared at her. Don't be afraid, she repeated. Don't worry, she told me. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. Now, I'm not saying she was an angel. As it turned out, she's a child psychologist in California, and her name is Marna, and she likes to travel. I'm just saying she was an angel. Technically, she was flying. Marna in Hebrew means to rejoice, and she told me not to be afraid about a baby. She gave me good news. But the real miracle here is that when this angel woman told me not to be afraid, I believed her. I heard myself say, okay. For the next 3 months, every day I would pick up fear and faith, and then I would put down the fear, and I stopped carrying fear. Instead, I carried Jan's photo, his tiny 2-inch visa photo, in my pocket. I believed her. We signed final papers, and we gained a son. Almost a year later, I hardly think about Marna, except for last night, when I kissed Jan goodnight. I looked at him, and I felt so much love. I felt sick to my stomach that we could have missed him, that I came so close to missing him. Who was she to speak into my life? How bold to make that promise? On what authority could she tell me that? The audacity. It's unbelievable. It's believable. I believed her. He's here. Friends, each of the three adults in Kate's testimony chose life over death. She chose the marginalized. They were alert to life and responding to the Holy Spirit. May we too choose life. Amen.
You'd be invited to bring your offerings up as we're singing the final song. But let's have a prayer time, or just I will pray. How is God speaking to our hearts and our lives, where life can come out of death and hope from sorrow? So let us pray. Almighty God, you are the one that gives us all good gifts, and you've given us yourself. You've given us your Son. You've given us your Spirit. And you are the one that can make alive again, can bring to life. So continue to help us to die to things in our life and church life, society. May many things die away in Jesus' name, so that true life and hope and gospel and mission and just helpful situations, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be dead to the marginalized right around us, in our area, in our town, in our neighborhoods. And we tear down the walls that separate us from your mission there, Lord. We pray for open doors. We pray for open opportunities, Lord. And we now sing of your joy and your power and your mysterious ways, dry bones coming alive, as we bring our gifts. We also offer ourselves, our song, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together if we're able. Well, the Lord bless you as you go out. The Lord is with you. Fear not. He goes before you. His Spirit is filling you, renewing you, and showing you the path ahead. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.